Toronto Maple Leaf game day on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz with you for the fastest 2 hours in hockey. We're live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Here we go, boys. Fork in the road.
Here we go now.
Right?
Here we go.
Fork in the road. Win it tonight.
Fork you, buddy.
Win tonight. I like that, though. That's all right. That's pretty good. Win tonight. And the narrative continues. Different team, different feel, different vibes. Lose tonight. Same vibes.
It's
12 months ago.
Nirvana or absolute hell. Just pure and utter despair and chaos.
Emotional damage.
Yeah, for 46 hours.
In about half an hour, we're going to welcome in Gary Roberts, former NHLer, knows a thing or two about the Battle of Ontario. And then top of the hour on our Tuesday, Steve Valiquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG, CEO, Clear Sight Analytics. Plenty to get into around the National Hockey League. And it's been a fun ride so far. I got to tell you, boys, I really enjoy sitting back, couple of beverages, and just watching the festivities.
Are you going to ask him how a goalie lets in a goal 9 seconds into a hockey game from below the goal line?
There'll be plenty.
Start on time.
Oh, my God. Wake up. Oh, my God.
Plenty.
Blackwood. Jeez.
Plenty to get into. No question about that. But in the meantime, where do you want to start, JB?
Well, I think you got to start with the feel.
At home? Tonight.
At home, has anything changed for you? I will say I'm reading, obviously, a lot about this this game tonight, taking in all the content. Came across one in the Ottawa Citizen today, you know, that says Giroux is trying to help the Senators complete the reverse sweep in the Battle of Ontario. And in one of the first sentences says, the road to historic comeback started with a 4-3 overtime victory. It's, you know... They're looking big picture here.
Is that my buddy Bruce Garriott?
That's Bruce.
Is he searching a little bit?
I don't know. That's the vibe for Sens fans. This is the start.
Well, the playoff is that Giroux did it once already,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. Yeah, yeah.
And four other teams. Would they be the fifth?
They would be the fifth, yeah. But like even saying they would be the fifth is insane when they've won a game.
Yes.
We're not going into game seven.
No.
And if you'll remember that Claude Giroux Flyers team in game seven went down 3-0 in game seven and came back and won. So
that's nuts.
Yeah.
It's never over till it's over, as everyone knows.
You got to write about something.
You got to write about something. I'm not being critical of the topic. I'm just saying that is the tone. That is the talking point. Is this the start of the Leafs' biggest whatever?
I think that if you... let's say the Ottawa Senators were playing against, let's say they were playing against the Tampa Bay Lightning and they were down 3-0 and they won game five. Yeah. Or they were playing against the Washington Capitals, they were down 3-0, they win game five. I don't think this conversation is even, I don't think that article is being written today.
How about now?
I think the article
is about game five.
How can they grow and learn about what they need to take into next year's playoffs and all these all these extra games that you get to play and you learn these hard lessons. But since it's the Toronto Maple Leafs that have had a bit of problems in elimination games in this era, it's a much easier article to write because people really, listen, I'd be lying to you if I said, I got to play golf today, got paired up with a couple random guys, both diehard Leaf fans. There were some conversations, boys. It's not 100% confident up 3-1.
It is really unavoidable in this town to not go there.
Yeah. And it's human. It's a sports. Where people are just going on what they've seen recently, so it's fine to have the conversation. It's just, settle down.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube for the first clip on how comfortable he feels at home.
I think starts have been really good, you know, and we're going to need a good start tonight. We need to be aggressive and do things right. We need everybody, you know. It's, you know, we're not relying on one or two guys. We need everybody to do their job and contribute.
I really like that message because people like myself and everyone else is all need a big game from the Stars. Matthews and Marner need to be good. They need to pull them across the finish line. And while that may be true, there should be a reminder to everyone else that, hey, Bobby McMahon, you're allowed to score still. Yeah. You can also help here.
What has happened here? Is it 13 games now without a goal, 14 games?
I don't know. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right. It's been a long time since he shot
one
in the net.
It's in the 15 range. Yeah. Let's just say that.
And, you know, last game, they need a goal. They put him up with Tavares and Nylander. They instantly look like a line again.
Mm-hmm.
He's so in love with utilizing Holmberg and helping him, like having him be like the defensive conscience on that line, that it's almost like it's a little passive. And so I did want to ask you coming on the show today, Kip, are you better off going all out and just trying to win this game, throwing a fastball right down the gut, McMahon with that line, your top line, play the heck out of those guys and try to get it across the line?
Yeah.
Or do you think you just kind of, you don't want to open it up against Ottawa, keep it conservative, keep it close again?
It's the sense of urgency that you have to play within the same structure that you've had. You're not changing anything. You're just getting guys to feel the moment a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another gear. Like, I'm still watching the Leafs in all four games now, and I do believe that there's another level that they can get to. And I think
totally
when we watch other series, there are, whether it's LA, whether it's Edmonton, Dallas, Colorado last night, like there's stretches and windows where you go, oh wow,
ooh,
oh no, they got it going right now. And I don't think we've really reached that yet with the Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you want to see, and you can still see it and not change anything structurally at all about your systems or your mindset. Just do it faster, do it harder, totally. Do it with more intensity.
Yeah, totally. There was a Matthews quote today where he said he expects the crowd to be loud and raucous, mm-hmm. and whatever. And I quote tweeted it from Luke Fox and just said, I'm sure they expect the same from inside the glass. Loud and raucous, and let's see that pace. Like, it doesn't have to be a, you know, we defend the front of our net and we just sticks in the middle and we just let them play hockey and we just pack it in. You got to go play. And we've seen one period, I think, was it when they came out and went up 2-0, or we've had one stretch in the first period where they came out and really put the boots to them. What game was it? You loved the
In that clip, he talked about good starts.
Yeah.
In both games at home, they were brilliant to start.
Okay.
They went up 2-0 in the
both
started
games.
Good tonight.
Yeah. Game one and game two.
Right? And they went, it was, I think, two goals on four shots through in both those things. Like, they really have had good starts. So to his point, he's right. And we need everybody. Like, they really, that's true too.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen this split of responsibilities throughout the lineup that we have ever seen in this era.
You dropped the name Bobby McMahon. This guy is so key that he can come back off of Matthew Nyes. It's not going to be Holmberg. It's not going to be Lawrence. It's going to be him, mm-hmm. who needs to follow up on that left side. Like, I do see the speed,
mm-hmm.
out of him. I just see it on the outside.
Yeah.
And he dies the moment he needs to take it to the net. There is no drive to the net. There's drives on the outside, but I don't see him extending, mm-hmm. to now taking it to the net. And that's what he's very good at. Haven't seen it.
You know, I think, Kip, he dies when he plays with guys he doesn't believe in. And I'm not saying that it's specifically those guys, but when he's on a line where he feels important, you get more out of him. And I think you're losing him at the interest of promoting Holmberg, and Holmberg has very good underlying numbers. Ooh, the numbers love him in this series.
Yeah.
But, okay, whatever. Tell Bobby McMahon we want you to play a little bit of defense, and I think you could get a lot more out of his role in the roster.
Yeah.
Now,
We talked about this all year with Bobby McMahon. Bottom six, top six,
great.
Thumbs up.
So like, give me the thumbs up version.
I agree.
Yeah. Austin Matthews didn't skate yesterday. He was on the ice today before morning skate, before the team went through their motions, went out there on the ice for a little bit. We have a clip.
Yeah, Luke Fox asked him, of course,
Luke always gets a good
one. He asked about how he was feeling, where he was at, and this is the answer.
Austin Matthews, clip one.
You kind of always hate the person across from you.
That's ready. I mean, I think everybody's grinding right now. I mean, it's that point in the season where, you know, it's hot, hard physical hockey, and, you know, you're always going to go through different things. So it's nothing that's abnormal. I mean, everybody's, you know, grinding and playing hard right now. So it's not really, you know, something that's, I don't know, it's not a big deal.
Let's here's Coach Craig Berube. You have a quote from him on Matthews as well. What do you say?
This is a fabulous clip.
What's your sense of where Austin is after a day off of rest?
Rested. He's good. You know, he's good. Like I said, he's a lot of minutes the other night in that game. So, just a little extra rest for him.
He loved that.
He did. I liked that he liked it.
He just...
We heard that laugh at him all year.
Never. That's the best.
He's going to pick his best game of the season, or... best game of the series, yeah. I should say. This is it tonight.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, best game of the season would be good, too. I would accept that as well.
Yeah.
So.
You know, the narrative about these guys in closeout games, you can't deny it at this point, right? And that's why we're having this conversation in closeout games. 13 games for Nylander, Marner, and Matthews. Marner has 0 goals, 5 assists. Matthews has 4 goals, 9 points. And Nylander has 2 goals, 11 points. It's, you know, none of them at a point per game, none of them at their usual levels. I think as much as we're saying, yes, they need everyone, reasonable to expect these guys to have a better night.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would imagine that the one thing that Ottawa will have to do is make sure they don't go to the penalty box, because we know, you know, once Tavares is back, that thing could bury you in a big hurry here. So... Mm. I would think that the Ottawa Senators would be on their best behavior in terms of their discipline. And I can't think of a worse penalty than the Batherson high stick 200 feet away from your goalie in overtime.
He thought he lost them the series. Like, he was sure it was over.
Yeah. 4 minutes.
It blows my mind that you've been around the game since you're like 7 years old and you can't find a way to keep your stick down and make contact.
Yeah.
It must be the nerves. It must be like there's something that happens to you that you would end up hitting a guy in the face with your hockey stick in such a critical moment. It's mind-boggling.
You know
what's
funny? It's like the Robertson high stick from a few games ago before he was out. It made contact with the Ottawa Senators player's face for so long. It was like he was slitting his throat. He like dragged it across his face.
He held it there for a while.
It was like, what is happening? Very unusual. But these are guys with not as much playoff experience. The Sens players with first career playoff goals in this series: Batherson, Gaudette, Greg, Pinto, Sanderson, Stutzla, Tkachuk.
Yeah.
They haven't been in the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Travis Green. We'll get a Kipper's Clipper out of the head coach of the Ottawa Senators on the growth of the Sens so far in this series.
That's not an easy question, because I think there's been a lot of it. I think comfortability playing in playoff hockey, understanding certain parts of the game, the commitment, the compete, selling outside. You know, you saw our team, you know, I think step their game up in certain areas last game as far as being to do whatever it takes to win, and some of those are, you know, sacrificing your body, and that's part of it as well. But there's a lot.
5-on-5, it was pretty obvious.
I have to say, yeah, like, he was pretty low-key today.
Yeah.
He talked for 2:30, didn't have a whole lot to say, pretty short answers. Maybe he was not liking the narrative around him of a little bit of whining and talking about 5-on-5 too much and talking about the officials, so he just stopped talking a lot.
Kept her shut.
Yeah, I think... much like game one and game two, I think it's imperative that the Leafs do get that start, Sammy, you were talking about earlier,
yes.
And it either parlays into a 1 or 2-0 lead here, because although 3-1 still makes believers out of everybody that the Leafs will find a way to close this thing out, there is that feeling from the Ottawa Senators, at least coming back, is that they found a way to beat them. They found a way to beat Stolarz. They found a way to shut down the power play when they needed it most. The last thing, if you're the Leafs right now, you want them to do is gain any more confidence out of the first period.
Yeah. I do think, like, that there's the opportunity to take that belief from them and get to a point in the game where you're up 3-0. They know how good the Sticks have been, how, you know, how tough chances are to come by, and they just kind of go away. But I think if it's close, you're going to get, yeah, the longer it's close, the more belief you're going to get out of that Sens team and the harder it's going to be to put them away.
All right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on closing out this series tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's we of course we want to close it out as quickly as we can. We wanted to close it out in game four, but it didn't happen. We're not going to sit here and focus on the closeout. We're going to focus on what we need to do to close it out.
Okay. Let me think.
What's that?
No, I'm just doing the math in my head of what he just said there. He's playing we're not going to focus on closing it out. We're going to focus on what we have to do to close it out.
Yeah. Well,
isn't that focusing on closing it out?
The process.
But isn't that focusing on closing it out?
No.
Okay.
You're focusing on the elements of the closeout to accomplish the closeout. Okay.
Just close it out.
Yeah.
Like, really?
But it is funny as a player. It's like you can't close it out in one shift. You can just, you know, be a good F2 on your particular shift or whatever it is, and it's chip away at it. But, yeah, a couple of goals would go a long way. Power play being effective. Anthony Stolarz looking like himself again is really key to this thing.
He gets the extra day off as there's 2 days in between games. Let's go to Craig Berube on his thoughts of his number one goalie bouncing back tonight.
Well, he's solid. Like I said, he's been around a long time, veteran guy. You know, all goalies go through losses, obviously, and things like that, like a team. And you got to turn the page and move on and just keep, you know, focusing on what you've done well and what you do well as a goalie. And he's not, that's not going to change. He's going to go out there and do his thing like he has in the past.
Anthony Stolarz, following his own loss this season, is 8-2-0 with a 2.24 goals against average and a .921 save percentage with one shutout. So he's been very good after a loss.
Two goals or less. Leafs win the game with two goals or less.
Simple as that, really.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Right? Stolarz keeps them to two or less. They win.
Yeah. It's funny how basic it is at the end of the day. Have your goalie play really well. We also have him on Stolarz and Wall. Some people had asked him if he had potential for Wall. Why don't we do a...
In this game?
Well, just to... Just
or getting him some action.
I included the question in the clip. So
one of the hallmarks of your team, your process, it was to play both goalies. Like, neither goalie really got too long a stretch.
Yeah.
I know the playoffs is kind of a different animal, but where are you on... playing Wall or going with both goalies?
In the playoffs,
yeah.
Well, I'm just focused on Stolarz right now playing. You know, that's really where I'm at. I don't think there's any reason to change right now.
I mean, I like that it's so definitive with him.
He's Nobody's going to argue that. No one's going to question that.
Yeah.
I think...
What about a 4-3 loss tonight?
Show me the three. Yeah, show me the four.
Yeah, let's see the four. Let's see the body language. Let's see how quick he's getting up and down, post to post. All of that has to come in play. I did see it Saturday night, a little bit of a drop off in his demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think it stemmed from a very long week.
Yeah.
Of four games
in 7 days.
Not only that, he also meets the media. There's such a demand for all of these star storyline guys. He's a star storyline guy for the Toronto Maple Leafs right now.
Yeah.
As much as Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, he's right up there with the demand on, can we get a soundbite? Can we see him post? We want to hear from him. All of this is still fairly new to this guy as a number one goalie in the National Hockey League. But hey, guess what? One in Toronto.
Yeah.
So maybe that extra day yesterday was enough to rejuvenate him or at least recharge his batteries.
And if you have to go to Joseph Woll, you look around the league, Winnipeg's used their backup, Dallas has used their backup, Colorado has, Edmonton has, Washington has, Montreal has. Like, you know, backups get in games.
Yeah.
I think at some point you'll probably see Woll and it won't be something that's so panic-worthy. But going into tonight, I feel like the extra day off is going to help him a lot. I feel like it's hard to score on this Leafs team. I feel like they've got a real opportunity here tonight. They got their full team. Should David Kampf be in for you? Is that something that...
It's a natural progression to our conversation right now on any tweaks, lineup changes. We mentioned Nick Robertson on yesterday's show. It'd be a subtle change. I don't think it would be one that would jolt the lineup in any way, shape, or form. But Kemp's another one that I really thought had a lock in the fourth line here.
Mm-hmm.
Killing penalties, face-offs, defensive responsibilities. I am kind of surprised he has not found any type of role right now with the Leafs.
You know, you're coming off a loss, you know, which generally keeps the mind open for coaches of doing it. And just like toggling to the last 3 years, the guys who played the most for the Leafs at forward are Nylander, Tavares, Marner, Matthews, and then Kampf, number five. He's the guy who's been the biggest part of it here outside of those four guys. So it's surprising to see him in the press box at, what is he, 28, 29 years old.
So just to go back to the trade deadline, mm-hmm. when you went and got Lawton, mm-hmm. was the thought at the time that by the time you hit the playoffs in the first round, that Lawton and Kampf would be in your top 12 on your
3C,
on your
4C. That was it. 3C, 4C.
That was it.
Yeah.
So essentially what happened is that you traded for Lawton, and it's as if you threw Kampf in the deal, you know?
Well, that's a really good point.
It is.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's useless to you in the first five games
of
the season.
If he's your fourth line center, he's not. Yeah, he's out. You moved him too.
Exactly. Which, it isn't perfect right now. It's not perfect. It's not what they envisioned. But to Lawton's credit, he's built himself up, and he's had a presence, and he's skating better. He's more involved in plays. At times, he can take it to the net.
He's been great.
He's been really good. Probably been what you kind of envisioned. But
he's been a big part of their most responsible line outside of the Matthews line.
But you did it thinking he was higher in the lineup, mm-hmm. so it wouldn't have cost Kampf a spot.
Yeah. Domi's such a wild card right now, because like every 10 games he does something that you're like, thank God he was in the lineup. Like not many other guys on the team could have done that. And then when you don't get those moments, it's a lot leaner. His line in this series has not been good. Almost every night outside of he has the moment, right? He shot it in the net in a big moment. So,
all right, let's get Craig Berube's thoughts on Kampf out of the lineup.
It's always talked about, like all our extra guys, but, you know, like I've liked our game, so I don't see a reason to change it right now.
What's your sense of how he's dealing with these guys?
He's fine. I mean, like, it's hard for him, for sure, but, you know, he got injured at the end of the year, and you know, it just, that's the situation that, you know, the team was playing well and I didn't want to change the lineup, and it's not a knock against him at all. It's just how things are looking and going. And that's why I've stuck with what I've stuck with. But you know, he's an important part of the team for sure. And he has been all year, and it's hard for those guys not to play. I get it, but they've been very good team first guys.
So Berube did change a winning lineup mm-hmm. going into game three, and then he didn't change a losing lineup.
Yeah.
Going into game five. Like he's doing the reverse hockeyman move. Like this is like, those are both very surprising moves.
Guess what? If you lose tonight,
there's moves. There's changes.
There is. And Kampf comes in, and in all probability, Pacioretty comes out,
mm-hmm.
and then you slide Lawton up. And you put Kampf on the fourth line.
It's mm-hmm. really nuts. It is so nuts that Scott Lawton never got any run beside Tavares and Nylander. He does what Holmberg does. Holds pucks. He's defensively responsible. All the things you want from that spot with offensive upside compared to Holmberg. Massive offensive upside. You could still have Kampf in the lineup. And they just never tried it.
Never tried it. Never went to it once.
Next year, if they put him there and it has success, I'm going to pull my hair out. I'm already pulling my hair out, but that one blows my mind.
Yeah, they didn't really give him much of a chance up the lineup
now,
at all.
In their defense, he stunk.
He wasn't great.
For the first, like, five games.
Yeah, it's a chicken and the egg situation there for sure.
You like a OEL clip
from
Berube?
Yeah, I do.
Let's have a listen on his defenseman.
Yeah, he, like, much... Like during the year, he's been a very good player for us. I think Like I talked before about playing the right side, playing the left side, different partners at times during the season. And, you know, he just goes and plays. You know, he's a very calm and cool guy out there. And it's really nice to see him get a couple goals, obviously, for the team, but for himself, too. He's he has that impact, you know, that he can do it.
That this whole feeling is what gives me hope about tonight, is that they have a real decor. And, like, the fact that Oliver Ekman-Larsson is now, and, like, you talked about this earlier. Remember when he was playing up near 21 minutes and we were talking about how he's playing too much? He's slotted in correctly. Benoit and him are a real bottom pair.
It's funny. You were saying that from the jump.
Yes.
Like, they use him too much.
And they've really dialed it back, and he's playing the bottom pair of minutes, 17 around there.
He can pick his spots more.
Yes.
Way more effective.
Carlo and Riley, but they're a real pair. Panev, McCabe, real shutdown pair. That's what gives me the most hope.
It really is. You start sucking oxygen out of a guy late in the game or game five, game six, game seven. Just watch the mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a coach and you don't monitor or follow a certain guideline on where a guy's most effective, there's a chance you can sink the series, man. And right now it seems like Berube's got her going, but the quality that Benoit has given you from like minute 14 to 19
hasn't dropped.
But it's been a buildup over a fairly long period of time. It's not like you've asked a guy to step up with six more minutes and there's no real proof behind it. Yeah. He's built this up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. In a series where three of the games have gone to overtime, the average time on ice for William Nylander is 18:57. For Tavares, it's 17:29.
Yeah.
You know, McMahon's 13:27.
Yeah. Like, John's another guy. You got to be very careful with John when you overextend him. And if he's been taxed a little bit on 5-on-5, you want to keep that guy as fresh as you can, especially on those power play moments. But you can't, for Berube, you know, John can't go 20-22 back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
But you look at both these teams' decors, they're playing all their guys, right? Like, you know, in the overtime game, the lowest was Montempolo, and he played 15:39. Like, Cleven played 23:01. Obviously, Sanderson played, he played over 30.
Cleven's found money for these guys this series. He's been really good.
You think about some of those other, like, you talk about exhaustion and guys, like, sucking wind towards the end of a game. The Leafs and Sens have really been able to play all three pairs at pretty much, you know, like a normal pace, as opposed to, like, look at what the Kings were doing. They play their bottom pair 11 minutes, and one guy played 2 minutes. They're playing 35.
Look at their top pair.
That's what I mean.
Edmondson.
I know.
When was Edmondson ever a top two guy?
That is damning.
And now he's playing 36 minutes.
Yeah.
You want to talk about lack of oxygen to the brain?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Sanderson has averaged 27:35 per game.
All right. We got Gary Roberts after the break. But in the meantime, let's go to Max Pacioretty and talk about the hate level in the Battle of Ontario and where Gary Roberts will pick that conversation up.
Max Pacioretty.
I always hate the person across from you just as much, no matter who they are, when it's in the playoffs. So I've never, you know, lately, and as you get older, you don't get tied up in whatever the narratives are, especially outside of the room. So if that's the case with the narrative on the outside, you know, you're not really aware of it as much as you get older. But no matter what, who you're playing against, you know, you can't have an excuse to hate someone more or less. You gotta play each night like, you know, you're willing to die on that ice.
Pacioretty should, like, read audiobooks for a living. Just, like, you know, put a voice on that guy.
Willing to die on the ice. Let's go, buddy.
Willing to die on the ice.
Let's go.
Hey, this guy talks it, but he's walked it. He keeps getting hurt and keeps getting back out there.
Do you remember the hit that he took off of Jara in Montreal?
Yeah, rode him into the stanchion.
They changed the stanchions because of him.
Yeah.
Remember, they curved them?
Yeah, the league said that was fine for Jara. He didn't do it on purpose, so. You didn't get anything.
We want to talk about big hits.
That was rotten.
That was rotten.
He wrote his face right into it.
All the best guys are rotten. Pronger was rotten too. Messier was rotten.
Yeah.
I saw a clip of Messier. I thought after four games though that hatred level would have been a little higher.
In this.
To me there's Leaf fans are hoping that they close this out tonight.
Yeah.
But even tonight, and by chance if Ottawa extends it, I think there's more room.
The problem is it's too late in the series. Like, you know, usually they do that for two, three games.
Yeah, I know. And then it calms down. But it hasn't reached yet to me.
They've been tight. They don't have any guys.
Well,
it was greasy in game one when it got out of hand, right? That's when Domi was punching Gaudette in the face. The games have been one-goal games. Like, who's going to take the stupid penalty to get into it?
Yeah.
Right?
Well, lack of oxygen, man. You get guys on long shifts. There might be room for someone to do something stupid still.
Hope it's the
maybe. Senators. Yeah, boy, the best chance of that happening is Ottawa wins like 5-0 or something, and it's just
Tkachuk.
Sorry, Sam.
Don't go there, JB.
Sorry.
Don't go there.
Sorry.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. Sammy.
Yeah, yeah.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good, buddy.
All right, Gary Roberts. We'll talk a little bit hatred as well when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Leaf Hour Edition, Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee floating around somewhere. And soon, Gary Roberts will join us.
Gary Roberts?
Gary Roberts.
Did you play with Gary?
Played against him.
Against him, all right.
Yeah.
You guys never got into it?
No, I don't think so. Played junior hockey against him, too. He was the year he won the Memorial Cup. He was a Guelph Plater.
Oh, boy. One of my favorite.
Moved on sound. Became the on sound Platers. Then the on sound attack.
One of my favorite Gary Roberts videos is him in an alumni game nearly fighting
Draper.
You know, which is just a true testament to caring and passion that I do not internally possess and envy. I envy that.
Yeah. See, I think about it a different way. Mm-hmm. Just stupid.
No.
Dumb. But, I know these guys both personally.
Yeah.
I will tell them both to their face. You guys are idiots.
Oh,
okay.
Well, he's listening.
You guys
now.
Are.
He's got to be. He might be there.
Oh, no. Is he on already?
Oh, no.
I don't know if he's
on. All right. Let's welcome him in, Gary Roberts.
Hi, team. How are we doing today?
Do you think catch any of my opening?
Well, I was smart enough not to fight you, Kipper. I heard that.
No. We were just talking about the alumni game where you and I said I'm friends with you and Drapes, and I tell you both to your face, you guys are idiots.
I am
just idiots. How can you years later almost get into a fight in an old man's game?
Well, I mean, you took me to the hospital after a skate with Ty and Eric one day.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Was that real?
I did.
What happened?
Yeah, I tried to break up a fight of Big E and Ty when we were locked out. What was that, Kipper, 2004?
Yes.
Come on.
You got to hear this story.
And so they get into it on the ice, slashing each other up the ice. I think, okay, I'm going to break it up. So I get in the middle of it. And Ty tries to swing his stick at Big E and hits me right in the face, knocks me out.
Cold.
I'm on the ice.
Cold.
Come on.
So Kipper has to run in to the arena, into the washroom. I can remember the way he woke me up, and Kipper was putting when I came to, Kipper was putting the paper towel to my face to stop me from bleeding.
Oh, my God.
Imagine
if there was video of that today.
But
almost fighting Draper in an alumni game seems like nothing compared to what I went through.
As if I was watching it in slow motion.
Yeah.
So Ty and Big E now have a couple slashes that start around the ankles.
Yeah.
And then it moves up to shin pads. Then it's up to waist. Then E hits him over the chest, Ty. And Ty comes with the over the head tomahawk.
Come on.
And goes to clunk Big E over the head. And Gary is given this one. No! And then boink. Rob's down. There's me, Joe Neuwendijk, Thomas Cabrera, a couple other guys going, did that just happen?
Well, we're glad you're with us today.
I got to pile them in my car, and I take them to the hospital. I call a buddy of mine who I'm like, buddy, we got no time for emergency front door, man. You got to backdoor this guy in. And I don't know, 2 hours later, stitched up. And
I walked back in the next time we scrimmaged. I walked back in and I threw both of them the same color jersey. and I said, you two dorks can play on the same team today. That's exactly what happened. So I still remember it. So, you know, obviously I wasn't concussed.
So, Rob's first games in this Battle of Ontario, not quite Ty Domi, Eric Lindros stuff, or Darcy Tucker jumping into the bench, but what do you see all these years later against these two clubs today?
Well, I don't think I've missed a shift. Like, you know, as that game won, I felt that, you know, that atmosphere was, for me, you know, I missed being a Toronto Maple Leaf because of how I felt playing in the playoffs in Toronto. So obviously being at game one was really exciting. You know, it's just, now I always say it's a different physicality now. It's winning your 50-50 battles. It's blocking shots. Both teams have played, I think, very well. Obviously, we got a couple overtime wins by the Leafs. I think it's been tighter than maybe people would have thought it was going to be. And Ottawa responded, of course, in game four. And you got a big game five tonight. I mean, I got to think Toronto's thinking we got to end it tonight. We don't want to be going back to Ottawa for game six. That's for sure.
Gary, what advice would you have for, you know, the Leafs elite players who are looking to create offense in the playoffs? It is a different style of game somewhat here, but I imagine you don't want them to suddenly become different players. You don't want Mitch Marner to live in the blue paint. Well, what advice would you have for their best players to create?
Well, I mean, we all know that Ottawa's got a little more offense. Toronto's got a little more offense. I would just say for the Toronto players, you just need to be patient. You just gotta continue. You start cheating on the wrong side of the puck in big games like this, and you guys know there's not going to be tons of scoring chances either way. So you still gotta, as we all say, play the right way. If you start taking risks, high risks, I would argue over the years, even back when we played for the Leafs, we were a high risk, high reward team. Toronto's been pretty disciplined. They've played pretty solid. They've played their whole lineup, which I really like to see what Toronto's done with their lineup. You know, even their fourth line guys are playing 10, 12 minutes. I just think it puts the team in a much better place late in games and tight games when you've used your whole bench. So, you know, I think Craig Berube's done a really good job. I'm obviously a fan, but the way that he's used his lineup, you know, from the goaltending to the D, and of course the addition of Chris Tanev, if you see how calm he is back there, I mean, they just to me look like a more solid, complete team. And I would expect that they end it tonight.
You're watching and listening to Gary Roberts, former Leaf NHLer, knows a thing or two about this time of year. As far as the experience that the Leaf players have gone through, and as disappointing as it's been, how much of an advantage is it this time around for them going into a game and against a team that still doesn't have that much experience with maybe the likes of a Claude Giroux in the lineup? How much will that factor in maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes, Robs?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ottawa, I mean, if Ottawa gets out of the first period even, I think they're going to be pretty happy about it. Mm-hmm. You know the place is going to be rocking tonight. You know the boys are going to be coming out humming. I mean, I don't know what the score is going to be. I'm not going to get into that, but I think Ottawa's hoping they come out after the first period even, and they just try to hang in as long as they can. And we know if you let teams sit around and stick around as games goes on, the more likely, you know, they've got a chance to win. So I think for me, Toronto's got to continue to play patient. We know they have more skill than Ottawa, and eventually if they're patient enough, I think they'll get their opportunities, and they've got the players that can bury it.
Do you see a big difference under Berube, but also with his decor in terms of just stylistically, it feels like they spend a lot of the game or a lot more of the game in their own end, but it works. They're having a lot more overall success despite maybe, I don't want to say being on their heels, but not maybe taking as many risks.
Yeah, that's what I see. I don't see the team taking as many risks.
Yeah,
and yeah, they, maybe they're spending more time in their own end a little bit, but they've done a great job blocking shots. I think both teams truly have done an amazing job. When we talk about toughness in the game today, like it isn't, you know, I know we've got the Montreal Washington thing going on, which is that's kind of old school with the Jack Eyes staring the other team down and warm up and all that stuff. But nowadays I look at toughness. I look at guys, the guys that are blocking shots. We're talking about guys that are really shooting the puck. Guys are putting their bodies on their line, no different than Kipper maybe than when we did back then. But to me, I think that's toughness. And I think it's been, I mean, I've been really impressed with all of the playoffs games. I've tried to watch as many as I can. I'm old now, guys, so I fall asleep at 9:30. So the Edmonton series has been tough to keep up to. But I've really enjoyed round one. I think we've seen some amazing hockey. The physicality's been there. The animosity's been there that Kipper and I have talked about over the years. You know, you don't see when the regular season's on often enough. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a really good run so far by many teams, and it's been very exciting.
Robs, yes, you're right. We are old, but you are around these current players almost every day in some way, shape, or form. You've worked with them all. When you watch this time of year, Robs, can you see things that maybe the average viewer doesn't see with their body language, their energy, and maybe how it's parlayed from what they did in the off season?
Yeah, like, I mean, I just don't think there's any way, you know, in the first round, maybe you get away with playing as physical and as hard as everybody is without preparing for playoffs. You know, you prepare all season for playoffs. Why do we work out in season? Because we're preparing for playoffs. If you don't do that in the regular season, you might make it through round one, but you're not making it through round two, three, and four. So, you know, so far it's been pretty amazing to see how the energy of the game has picked up and the physicality has picked up. Let's see who can do it in round two and round three, and that'll tell you who prepared to play the best.
Go ahead. Yeah. Looking at the older guys, like a guy like Max Pacioretty and the way these guys take care of themselves, obviously I think it's changed since when you guys were in the NHL, how most of the older players in the league take care of themselves. I think that's safe to say.
Not much. We had all the knowledge of what we were doing off the ice and how it could help us, I think.
Okay. And maybe it's just spread across the whole team now.
Well, yeah, I would say you have the knowledge. I say that the care of the players, guys, has improved. Players are taking it upon themselves to get treatment outside of the team. Not that the team's not aware of it, but you can't have one or two therapists take care of 20 players.
Right.
They need more than that, right? So players are taking it upon themselves to make sure that they're doing what they need to do. And players are obviously, you know, we know there's so much information that around fitness and training and players, and not to say everybody needs to be in the gym every day. I'm sure Tavares has a certain routine that he does every day. I mean, he's a pro. You watch that guy, how he's played, how he prepares to play. I mean, you can't take anything away from how he's performing. And I would say that in general, if you want to play at this pace and the speed of the game, if you're not taking care of yourself, you get left behind, right? Eventually you get left behind. There's no way you can play. You think about chasing a guy like Connor around for 15, 16 minutes in a game. If you're not doing your fitness and you're not taking care of yourself and getting your treatment and, you know, whether you're doing vitamin IVs or whether you're doing creatine or whatever that looks like for you as far as recovery, you're not keeping up over a period or two periods. It just doesn't happen.
You've had a personal relationship with the Tanev brothers, training them. You can't be overly surprised of what Chris has done throughout the season with the Maple Leafs.
No, I had a conversation with him last summer, and he came to me, and we had a little chat about being a Leaf, and I told him that was the best decision I ever made. So I said, being a Leaf for me, you know, I retired in Toronto. I just don't think it would have been the same if I wasn't a Leaf at some point in my career. And when he told me he had the opportunity to sign in Toronto, I said, a guy that does what he does, guys, a guy mm-hmm. that prepares like he does, the warrior that he is on the ice, the commitment he's made to the game, everywhere he's gone, the leader that he's become. I mean, I look at him and he's, I'm not saying he's the only guy, but he's the glue. Like, he really is. And he has been in a lot of teams. Unfortunately, the city of Toronto never saw that because he played most of his career out west, you know, so they didn't see enough of Chris Tanev. But him and his brother, Brandon, are two of the, you know, for me, Brandon's a different person, different player, but their work ethic and their commitment to their off-ice training and their lifestyle is second to none. And it doesn't surprise me one bit that Chris Tanev's done what he has in Toronto, and we couldn't be more happy for him.
Yeah, he's an absolute pro. I wanted to get your take on how you see now as someone with so much experience in how to be well and take care of yourself, also as a member of the alumni who sees a lot of people your guys' age getting older. How do you feel watching playoffs right now when you see, you know, I guess I see Brandon Hagel take a tough shot the other night, or some of, you know, it's a tough game out there. How do you feel about Brady Tkachuk's a good example, and where I wanted to start with is just guys playing through injury in playoffs. Are you okay with it? How does it look to you?
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously nowadays, it's obvious you get marked to being 100%. You know, years ago, Kipper, we'd be hurt and the coach would say, hey, like, you at 70% is better than my other option, so you're going to play. Like, you know, there's some injuries I think you can play with. And I think for sure a lot of players are banged up, guys. You're not playing like they are right now and not banged up.
Yeah.
I would just say that the energy that these guys are expending game in and game out, I just don't think – I'm getting sidetracked. Sorry, I got someone waving over at me over here. I'm losing my train of thought. See what happens when you have kids in your house? They're all like, hey, Dad, my daughter wants my gym. Can you imagine?
Yes, that's right. Or she wants 10 squats out of you right now.
Dad, get out of the gym. I need the gym. But anyways, I would say we were talking about the Hagels and those guys. Like, it's flipping. It's hard. The game is hard.
Yeah.
And the Tkachuks of the world, they're big men. The Arbor Jack guys of the world, they're big men. So, boy, if you're not big, you better be able to skate. And those guys, obviously the smaller players today, that's why they're in the league, because of their skill and how they can move.
Rob's fantastic stuff, man. Thanks for doing this. Awesome storytelling time. We're going to have you back on again real soon, okay? And, I mean, I know...
Don't wait so long. Don't wait so long next time, eh, Kipper?
You do the big shows first.
You can't be giving me a shot.
You do all the big shows first, like Bunkus, but, I got to beg you to come on our show. All right, pal.
You didn't have to beg me. Just a call, Kipper. That'd be good. Thank you.
Gary Roberts, everybody. Yeah. Enjoy
so
game
much.
Five.
Appreciate it.
That was awesome.
Thank you, guys.
He's awesome, eh?
Yeah.
Really good stuff.
And, like, I didn't even mention his kid got drafted by the Oshawa Generals.
We ran
out of time.
Yeah.
12th overall.
Awesome.
Wow.
And I wanted to ask him if his kid's as nuts as he is.
That was inconsiderate of you.
Yeah, I know. But it's jam-packed.
It's awesome to get drafted to the Generals. You know, that's one of the premier franchises in the OHL.
You hate them, too?
No, I love them. They're my second team. I go to five or six games a year. I like them.
All right, good.
They're in a separate conference. I enjoy going.
I can't keep track. You hate the London Knights, but you love the Oshawa Generals.
I do love the Generals, yeah. I love Oshawa.
Good to know.
Yep.
It really hasn't changed over the years from my perception of that there's guys that can play being hurt.
I didn't ask that question but yes.
And there's guys, it hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Guys can play hurt. They can't play injured.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference. And
it was Tkachuk I'm thinking of, who's clearly going through.
Here's the second thing that hasn't changed in our game since the inception of hockey is that this time of year, if you aren't on 100% and you can still find a way not only to play but perform, you are a hero.
Yeah.
Okay? You get hero status. And then there's the practical side of an injury, and then there's the emotional side. And the emotional part of playing hurt overwhelms everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's it, man.
Well, you only have so many years and so many playoff runs and so many opportunities.
But you want to be remembered as being that guy.
Yeah.
That guy that shouldn't have played but did play. The Bobby Bond scoring overtime goal with Gary a broken leg, baby. Yeah. That's what this time of year is all about.
Break your legs. Break it.
The last.
All right, brutal. Call.
And then pay the price when you're my age years later.
And you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Okay, we're just getting started here. We go national next. Steve Alakette, it's Tuesday. Don't go away.